Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Praise the Lord. Good job. Good job. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Praise the Lord. Good to see you today. Glad you're here. Have Mr. Ferris over here. Tom, right? Whew, I got a good memory. I'm just going to confess that from now on. How about that? But here, 2 months ago, Tom was in the hospital. He was in intensive care. You're supposed to be dead. You're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be dead. He's supposed to be dead. Or according to the facts, he was supposed to be dead. And Bruce and I went and prayed for him, and God has raised him up, and he's here today. So we're glad you're here. I know we've got some first-timers over here and some along in here. Give them another hand. And we want all of you to know that you're welcome here. And I'm honored that you'd come and be part of what God's doing here, and I hope you'll come back. And if you don't have a pastor, I'm volunteering to be your pastor. How about that? I think everybody needs a pastor, and so I'm volunteering to be your pastor. How about that? So don't make me come after you now. Praise the Lord. Our hearts go out to Paris and all the families there today, and all the evil in the world. And I believe that's why it's so much more important that we be able to hear God. That's what we've been talking about for a few weeks. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your protection on us. And Lord, we hold up the families in France that have been affected, and even some of our families have been affected in this. And we just hold them up to you, God, and believe your grace, your touch on their life. And Lord, I just say a special thank you, and I thank you because the only reason that we're not experiencing that now is because your hand's on us. And so we thank you for that, and we ask you to continue to keep your hand on us, Lord, because we can't make it without you. So we thank you for that and praise you for that, and we do it in your name, Jesus. Amen. I want to read a verse I'll just start off with this verse and see where we go here. Psalms 32, verse 8. And it just says, this is God speaking through David. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go, and I'll guide you with my eye. Wow, I guess if there was ever a time when we needed to hear God, there's probably never a more urgent time for us to hear Him than right now. 5-6 weeks ago or something, when I began, a little before that, when God began to talk to me about hearing Him and sharing that, I just felt like something, he just told me in my spirit that there's so much evil on the earth, there's so much going on, that it's not an option anymore of hearing Him. We've got to hear Him. He will instruct us, and He will teach us the way to go. He'll show us the way to go. He'll guide us the direction we're supposed to go, but we have to hear. And I don't believe there's ever been a time, folks, I don't know if you realize or not, but it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. But we're instructed in this word to live by faith, and we're not to be fearful, and we're not to worry about this, because He says, I'll protect you. I'll protect you. And so the one that's with us is a whole lot greater than the one that's after us. Okay? And so that's why we're talking, because I think everything in our life gears around us being able to hear God. Every aspect of our life, everything in our life is connected with that, and we have to be able to hear Him. And it's so vitally important right now, as it always has been. But you know, we live in a great country, and we can be pretty selective. And the times we seem to go to Him most is when we're in a jam. But you know, I think we're coming into some things that He's going to show us how to go through. He's going to show us how to get through. And you know, when all the things came on Egypt in the Old Testament, there was a little segment where His people were called the land of Goshen, and He protected them. And we'll talk about that maybe in a few weeks. But you know, there's a divine protection for us. I believe that's in hearing Him. He says, "I'll instruct you and I'll teach you. I'll teach you which way to go." That means our conduct and all that. We'll talk a little bit about that. But it means he'd tell us to be in the right place at the right time. He'll tell us, "No, step over here." And if He knows lightning's going to strike here, He'll say, "Well, step over a couple steps and get over." He'll guide me in the way I should go. If the economy's falling, He'll show me ahead of time. He'll say, "Hey, now if you'll do this and you'll do that, you'll be ready for when this comes." And we have a God that loves us and cares about us. And the problem isn't that He's not talking. Most of the time with me, the problem is that I'm not listening. Or if I'm listening, I'm not listening clearly. So He says here, "I'll instruct you and I'll guide you." And that lines up with what Jesus said in John 16 whenever He got ready to leave. He said, "Hey, however," John 16... He said, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He'll guide you into all the truth. For He'll speak not on His own authority, but whatever He hears, that He'll speak. And He'll tell you things to come. He'll glorify Me. He'll take what's Mine and give it to you, declare it to you. And all the things that the Father has are Mine. And therefore, I said, He'll take all those things and give them to you." And that's pretty important now. Pretty vital now. This isn't just a promise that we hope we will get. No, this is a instruction. This is something that we can't live without. And we've been blessed as a country. We've been able to kind of get by without making God the center of our attention and our main focus. But you know what? We might not be able to do that all the time. I mean, we might have to start getting up and believing Him every day to guide my steps. Every day to show me which way to go. And He says He'll guide you into all the truth. How many like all the truth that God has for you? He'll guide you in the truth. He says, whatever he hears, that's what He'll say. And I thought, wow, what a statement there. You know, because the only two folks that He's listening to is God the Father and Jesus the Lord. And I'm thinking, so everything He hears is going to be something that He heard one of them say. And He says, "I'm going to tell it to you, Hank." I go, wow. I don't know about you, but I've been living far below where I'm supposed to live, and I'm just aiming to change that around my house. He said, "Tell you whatever he hears, it's what He'll tell you, and He'll glorify Me, and he'll take everything that's Mine, and He'll declare it to you." You understand? When He says declare it to you, it's He will offer it to you. He'll tell you about it, and then we by faith can reach out and grab the things of God. Because you know what? The economy might fall, but Jesus and God aren't going to go broke. The kingdom's not done without. Can you live in the kingdom and do without? Sure you can. But not if you'll use your faith and reach out and grab what God's got for us. And not only that, He says, if that isn't enough, everything God has is Mine. So now I'm telling you, everything is yours. No wonder he said, whatever things you desire when you pray, whatever you ask, I'll hear you. See, now, if your flesh and your intellect and your reasoning will rise up against that and go, well, why don't you just think bigger? Why don't you just let loose of that for a little while? Why don't you just quit letting those other voices hold you back? That's not greed. I'm not saying get greedy. I'm not saying let's try to get everything we can get. No, I'm just saying, why don't you open up the possibility that God has everything and he's offered it to us. Well, I believe we're going to have it when we get to heaven, and I do too. And Paul says we're just getting the first fruits of this now, but glory to God, God's got so much that just the first fruits ought to be blowing us away. Amen. Besides that, I'm not going to need much help in heaven. He's got that pretty well lined out. When I need some victory and I need some power and some overcoming is down here. Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Well, so he wants to lead us. How's he going to do that? Well, Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. And he's searching all the inner depths of his heart. He's saying, now, you know, I said this last week, but in the old days, you know, they didn't have lights. You couldn't go turn on a light bulb. They didn't, but they had lights and they had candles. Some of your translations will say the candle of the Lord. And what he's saying here is he's saying, hey, your spirit is going to be, see, I don't know. They would light a light or a candle or a lamp. They would light it so they'd know which direction to go. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to know which direction to go. God says, I'm going to use your spirit will be that candle. Your spirit will be that thing that leads you. Your spirit will be that thing that guides you. And it only works because his spirit speaks to our spirit. Now our mind gets in the way and our flesh gets in the way and all that. But he said, I'm talking about something that needs to be developed. Are you with me? Something that needs to be fine-tuned and something that needs to be, we need to hear clearer. See, God's talking all the time. It's just sometimes the signal's a little messed up before it gets to us. Okay? In John 10:10, I wanted to hit that real quick because that's what Jesus is talking about. He says here, I'll just read you a few verses here, but he said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. He said, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they'll by no means follow a stranger, but they'll flee from him because they don't know the voice of a stranger. You understand what he's doing here? He's using an illustration of a shepherd and his sheep. That was common for them. They all knew that. They all knew what that was. They all had there were shepherds and sheep, and it's a little harder sometimes for us to understand some of these illustrations, but it's an illustration. And then verse 6 tells us, he says that he used this illustration, but they didn't know what he was saying. They couldn't figure it out. And so then he says, okay, well, let me say it again, only this time so you can understand it. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And whoever comes before me is a thief and a robber, but the sheep do not hear them. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved, and he'll go in and out and find pasture. He says, okay, you don't understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, I'm the one. I'm the one. He goes on in verse 11, he says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. He goes on and in verse 14, he says, I'm the good shepherd. You see what he's saying here? He's saying, this illustration I gave you, hold it. I'm the one I'm talking about here. I'm the good shepherd. And I know my sheep and am known by them. Verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. I thought verse 16 was interesting, because he said, and other sheep I have which are not in this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. It must be that he was talking about us there. And he said, I've got some other sheep that aren't right here, aren't in this fold. Thank God. Do you realize what he's saying? He's saying he didn't just come for Israel, physical Israel. He came for spiritual Israel, which was whoever would believe. Every one of us would believe. And so anytime you read a promise in the Bible, a blessing in the Bible for Israel, you can say, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's me. But he says, they'll hear my voice. So we are commanded to hear his voice. And it's not that hard when we start to get all the other stuff out of the way. But he wants us to hear. He wants us to hear what he's saying. This is what I noticed this yesterday. Right in the middle, he's talking here. Okay, he's talking about he gives the illustration of the sheep and the shepherd. He goes on then, and he says the sheep hear the voice. He's talking about hearing voices and following the shepherd's voice. And then afterwards he says I'm the good shepherd, and he said my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And right in the middle of that is a verse we always use. I've probably preached hundreds of messages about it. But right in the middle of all this talking about voices, he says, the thief doesn't come but except to steal and to kill and to destroy. He said, I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He's talking right in the middle of that. See, he's not just talking about something different. He's talking about hearing voices. He's talking about hearing the shepherd's voice and hearing the stranger's voice. He goes on and says, I'm the good shepherd. And he said, talking about following the shepherd or following the hireling. You understand? He's right in the middle of this, he's letting us know you got a thief that's going to be trying to trick you. He's going to be trying to twist what the shepherd's telling you. He's going to be trying to pervert it. He's going to be trying to do anything he can to keep you from hearing that voice. Because once you hear, you got the faith to follow. Huh? Once you hear, you got the faith to do. Once you know it's God, hey, listen, when I know it's God, there's no more, it's settled. Huh? It's settled. The devil can tell me you can't do it. 83 people can tell me you can't do it. All the circumstances can tell me you can do it. But if I've heard God, bless God, I can do it. And when you've heard God, all the people around you can tell you how sorry you are. All the people, all your family can remind you of how no good you are. All the past can keep coming up and all the things can happen. But once you've heard, no, I belong to God. I am His sheep and I do hear His voice. He loves me. So just take that stuff and just peddle it somewhere else. Hearing His voice. So how's the enemy going to steal, kill, and destroy? He's going to tell us something different than the shepherd's telling us. He's going to tell us something different than God's trying to show us. See, God's trying to lead us into goodness. Ephesians 2 says, we were created and we raised us up. He brought us back alive. His grace, so He could show us the abundance of His grace. And He said, He raised us up and created us so we could walk in all the goodness that He's been preparing for us since before the world was formed. That's in your second chapter of Ephesians. Didn't mean get all wound up there. But he's going to try to get me to act on the wrong voice. Huh? How'd he get Eve? How'd he even get access into this place? Well, 2 Corinthians 11:3 says he deceived Eve by with his craftiness. He corrupted her mind is what it says. What did he do? He just twisted a little bit. He just twisted a little bit. God said, you can eat of every tree in the garden. Just don't fool with that one. But you can eat of every tree in the garden. Folks, there were some trees in the garden. I didn't see them yet. I'm going to see them. But man, there were some trees in the garden. You can eat of every tree in the garden. Just don't fool with that one over there. What did the devil do? He came and twisted the words, twisted the message from God. And he says, so you can't eat every tree in the garden, huh? You can read that in your Bible. Oh, so you can't eat every tree in the garden, huh? You see how he perverts it and how his craftiness. And Eve said, no. We can eat it all. We can eat every tree in the garden. We just can't eat that one. And he said, you know why, don't you? Because it's going to be, it's something good, and God doesn't want you to have it. And if you eat that, you'll be just like him. And he twists that. Same way he comes to us. Twists things in our lives, in our minds. Gets us to think different. See, everything in our life relates to hearing and doing what God tells us, what he speaks to us. Can I just say something? He's not going to tell you anything that's bad for you. He's not going to tell you anything that'll hurt you. Huh? He might tell you something your flesh doesn't want to hear. He might tell you something your soul, your mind, your intellect doesn't want to hear. I mean, he might tell you something because you're enjoying doing something so bad. And he might tell you something that, but if you listen to the voice, he already sees. See, he guides us with his eye. He knows what's out in front. He knows what's about to come. He knows how the enemy's about to trick us. Does that make any sense? And the truth is, you either heed to one voice or the other. You either hear the shepherd or you hear the hireling. You either hear the shepherd or you hear the thief. See, the shepherd's trying to lead us into abundant life. The thief's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. The shepherd's trying to lead us into all the goodness of God. And he's talking to us all the time. And what we've got to understand is that God's talking all the time. Now, the forces of darkness are speaking all the time, too. But I heard a story, and I'll probably mess it up telling it. Some of you have probably heard it, but it was about when the Twin Towers fell. And there's a church right next, just right close to the Twin Towers. And this church, they'd been studying about, and the pastor had taught them to hear God. This is a true story. Been talking to them and teaching them about how to hear God and how to hear his voice. And the day that and practically everybody in that church worked in the towers. And I don't know how many hundreds, there were several hundred of them, but on that day, the voice of God said, don't go into the towers today. Don't go in there today. And you know, not one person in that church got killed in the Twin Towers that day, and almost every one of them worked there. You see what I'm trying to say? God's speaking all the time. And I heard somebody pray, and it makes sense to me. But they said, well, God, what about all the other people? What about all the other people that were in the tower? And God said, I was speaking to them also. They just didn't hear me. Well, the first time I heard that, I thought, I don't like the sound of that. I don't. That's kind of crude. That's kind of cold. That's kind of, You know, but I remembered when the tornado hit here, and I remembered, I heard hundreds of stories. But I heard stories, and I heard stories from folks that weren't even saved. I got some of them saved later on. But I heard folks, I heard people say, I don't know, man, I was in bed. I was sound asleep. And man, when I'm asleep, nothing can wake me up. And said, but something woke me up. And something told me, go get in the hallway. And I went and got in the hallway. And when the tornado came on, there wasn't anything left but the hallway where I was standing. I heard people say, something inside, I don't know what it was, something inside just told me to go get in the bathtub or to go get in the closet. And many of you heard many of those stories. Do you understand how much a miracle it was that only 100 and some folks got killed when that tornado went through here? Now, that's got a cold side, but please understand what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to say is. Don't you think God, when He guides us with His eye, that He's able to see what's in front of us? He's able, He's with us, He's caring for us. He's able to see what's going to happen. He's able to see in our life what we need to do. And He'll say, Hank, just get over here a little bit. Do you know how many times that I've been on a trip or on the highway and something would just say, well, you know, just wait a few minutes. And I'd wait a few minutes and get down the road and there'd be a wreck. Had I not waited a few minutes, I'd have been in the wreck. I just want you to get the concept of what's going on here. God's always talking to us. So I don't know about you, but it makes sense to me for me to try to hear Him clearer. You know, I was thinking, I can't remember one crisis in my life. I can't remember one traumatic thing that's happened to me in my life that God didn't tell me, He didn't speak to me before it happened. Now, a lot of them, I didn't realize that till after the fact. But when I went back and looked, the Holy Spirit was trying to lead me and trying to guide me and trying to get me to avoid this or avoid that. And you know, now you can either hear that and you can get under condemnation for the tragedy or the event that you went through and say, oh God, I just missed you. Hold it, man, we all just miss Him, okay? We're not talking about past, we're talking about future. I can't do nothing about all the times I didn't quite hear. Huh? I remember when I was a little kid, and I sure wasn't saved, but I remember a girl was over here, and we were lighting fireworks, and she's over here, and she lit it, and something just said, "That's going to blow up in her hand." And I just, and it blew up in her hand. You know, I'm thinking, you told me that so I could go knock it out of her hand, you know, and kind of wanted to lighten it up a little bit there, but you know, it's not a matter that well, I missed, hold, I can't do anything about the past. But boy, I can start trying to pay attention in the future. Huh? So anyway, we hear voices, and from those voices we make choices. And we either find ourselves out here in left field somewhere. Oh, I just knew God told me to buy this car, and now I've got a $483 payment for 6 years. Well, maybe God didn't tell you to do that. Huh? Anyway. So we hear. So what happens? These voices we have to learn. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Ephesians 4:27 says, don't give place to the devil. So we talked about how do we resist the devil. Hey, when those thoughts come, we make a statement. When we don't know, instead of saying, I don't know what to do, instead of like, ah, gosh, what in the world am I going to do? I just can't, oh, can't believe this. No, instead of that, we just stop it and we say, no, hold it. I am His sheep and I hear His voice. And I do what I hear. You say, well, yeah, but hey, I'm not there. I just hear Him something. You're never going to get there until you take a step of faith, until you start believing what God said and start acting on what He said. No, okay, I can't help it if I've missed it. I can't help it if I didn't hear yesterday. I am his sheep, and I do hear his voice. Do you know what? I'm hearing a whole lot better since I started saying that than when I was saying, God, I don't know what to do. Huh? You just don't understand. You don't understand. You know, I can tell the difference when I talk to one of you and I talk to somebody that maybe hadn't been here in a couple years. I can tell the difference when I talk to somebody that's been listening to what we've been talking about the last 6 or 7 weeks than when I talk to somebody that doesn't know what we've been talking about. Do you understand what's happening? Well, something's happening. We're getting changed. Something's happening. You know, it's a subtle thing. We don't realize it, but we're all tuning in and we're trying to hear better and we're trying to hear clearer and we don't even realize what's happening, but now we're hearing God. And I talked to many of you and you know you're hearing God now. Not as much maybe as you'll be hearing him next week this time or the week after this time, but you're hearing him. And isn't it exciting? Isn't it exciting? I wanted to read James 4:7 because I wanted to cover something just real quick here. James 4:7, he says, because we say resist the devil, and man, I like to resist him. Huh? Man, I cut my teeth on authority of the believer, man. And I like to yell at him and get him out of my affairs, you know. But that verse that's just half the verse there. Let me just read that, and I'll do this quick because it hurts a little bit, okay? It says, therefore, submit to God and then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Huh? Now, I just need to talk about that for a minute. Because, see, I resist the devil by committing my ways to God. Huh? I resist the devil by hearing what he says and doing it. I resist the devil by seeing what he says in this word and then living it. See, I can yell all day long at the devil, but if my life isn't producing the fruit, yeah, it is pretty good, where two of us will agree. I didn't particularly like this one, but see, James, you got to understand about James here. In fact, they didn't even consider James, the book of James, as part of the word for a lot of years, because they thought James was talking too much about works, and Paul talked about grace. But it wasn't what James was doing when they figured it out. What James was actually doing was he was talking to some Jewish, to a Jewish church, to a Jewish group of people. He was talking to a group of people who weren't living what they were claiming to know. Well, now we all fit in that category. So push the condemnation away and hear what I'm saying. I mean, if I knew how to do everything perfect, I guess I'd already be with Jesus. I'd be gone, you know. But it just so happens he's the only one that I know that ever did everything perfect. And so I can be perfect in him. And so I strive that direction. And as long as I'm striving in that direction, his blood covers everything, every mess up. As long as I'm going after him and I'm striving him and I'm trying to do everything I know to do. And all that blood just keeps me, just when the devil looks at me, he just sees Jesus. Let's go ahead, since we're doing that, since that's so good, you know, that's going over so good, let's read Ephesians. Where's Ephesians? It's right after the girls eat. Okay. 4:27, he says, don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to... What's he talking about here? He's talking about don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He's talking about all the works of the flesh. He's talking about all the old person, the way we used to do things, all the wrong things we did, our old nature. He's talking about putting that off and putting on Christ and putting on the new nature. He's talking about walking a walk that's different. It bothers me when I see a Christian and you can't tell the difference between them and the heathen. It bothers me when I hear somebody, you know, but we get this twisted. He just gradually, you know, it's not you can have all the trees in the garden except that one. It's no, you can't eat every tree, you can't have it. And he twists that, and little by little we get further away and further away and further away and further away. And we think we're still right up next to him, but he twists and he perverts. And then we can even get to the point to where we have a reasoning, a just in our soul. We have a justification, a reasoning that, you know, hey, listen, God loves everybody. And it's okay. It's okay for same-sex marriages because God loves everybody. And it's okay. God understands me and I can live this way and I can do this or that. And he understands me. And please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not belittling anybody. Somebody came up to me not long ago. They came in a service and they said, "I'm so and so and this is so and so and we're gay." And I said, "Well, I'm glad to meet you." And I said, "Can I love you and hate your lifestyle? Can I love you and not like your actions?" See, it's not my point to get into the beating you up over stuff. But I just want you to understand what we do. See, you know, and we call. I'm just going to say it, and if you have a problem, I'll help fix it later. I'll put some salve on it if that's okay. But we want to go to the bars, we want to go to the casinos, we want to do all this stuff, and we want to call it entertainment. Yeah. Folks, I'm sorry, I don't have to be entertained like that. I got up this morning at 5 o'clock and my Father and my Holy Spirit, they entertained me very goodly. Is that good English? Very goodly. Now, I'm not putting you down, and if you don't have that light yet, don't get under condemnation. I'm not putting you down, but you know what? It's not entertainment to me when I'm sitting next, even if I'm having fun, and I'm sitting next to somebody, and they're losing their life savings. And every 5 minutes, somebody's coming to give us a drink. I'm sorry. I'm going to be drunk on the new wine. I'm just saying there ought to be a difference. See, please don't, I'm not picking anything out. And if we want to live together, now he's my fiance. You see what I'm doing? See, and God's not, he's not interested in punishing you for any bad behavior. He's interested in leading you and guiding you and getting you over here so the devil can't get you. So he can't open the door. Please don't. You know me. You know my heart for you. And that last statement, I said, I'm going to say this, and they can put it on TV. If you're just living together, come on down to church here. And I'll love you, and the Holy Spirit will help you, and he'll lead you and guide you into all the good things God's got for your life. See, what we do is we put up this big old shield and we use this Bible and we put this thing up. And what we're actually saying is, nobody that's sinning, don't come in here because we're holy. Well, I'm sorry, but this place is full of a bunch of folks that we're just messes that God's trying to straighten up. The last time I said that, right after service, I had a couple come down to me and say, "Hank, we want you to marry us." And I said, "I didn't know you weren't married." And they said, "Yeah, we want you to marry us." And I said, "Well, man, let's do it. Just get a license and tell me when, and we'll do it." And I had another couple that left because they got offended. Don't get offended when the Holy Spirit tries to tell you something, when He tries to show you something. And there was another couple that we're gonna get married this coming Friday. And I just said that to say because 2 or 3 months ago they made that decision, and I didn't say, "Okay, well, let's do it today. Come on, you got to do it today to get right with God. You got to do it. Hold it, man. You know, God loves you. He loves you right where you are." And I know somebody had a problem with that casino thing. You know, whatever you got a problem with, you know, just I'm not trying to get on you. I'm not trying to judge you. I'm not trying to say anything else. I'm just trying to say, you know, we just need to quit getting fooled. Why does God isn't interested in cracking the whip on us and just getting us to perform and just getting us to walk right and live right and be little robots and all that. No, He's trying to tell you when you live contrary to what I said, you open the door and the thief comes in and gets you. Does that make sense? I dug a hole there and I'm not out of it. And you know, if you are in that lifestyle, it doesn't really matter what the Supreme Court says. You know, it needs to be what God says. Okay? But we can't look at each other and judge each other and get our little pads out and check off, "Scott, you doing okay? You didn't do that. I don't know about you, but I can't live that way, and God doesn't want me to live that way, and He doesn't want you to live that way. And so if He's dealing with you something about it, He's not going to swat you dead if you don't say okay the first time He deals with you about it. Well, I know, but only three of us believe that. See, He says, don't give place to the devil, Hank. See, it's okay, Hank, if you go to the casino. I'm not going to send you to hell for going. It's okay. And I was on my way to one time when He told me that. And it's okay. But, you're giving place to the devil. See, it's okay to do whatever your thing is. I mean, God's not going to swat you and knock you out because of it. He's just not after that in us. He's after that us wanting Him more than anything else. Huh? Somebody listen to me. You're having a problem with alcohol. Quit trying to fight the thing and just give it to God and just ask God to help you. You might go take a drink after a while, but just ask Him to help you. Huh? Got a man sitting over here that several months ago, and he hadn't had a drink since. You know why? Well, because God helped him. So resist Him. Resist Him with our life. Resist Him. Resist Him. Don't give place to Him. See, I can do a lot of things, and it's okay. I mean, God's not going to fall out with me over it. But it's not the best thing I could do, and if I'm not careful, it'll pull me right back in to where I used to be. Does that make sense? Because I'm giving place to Him. And we treat it sometimes like, well, let's just see how close to the line we can get. Well, I don't know if there's a line, but, you know, I'm going to try to stay as far away from the line as I can get. I get too close, I might fall in or over or under or something. Do you understand God's out for you good? And quit reading this like this is a test that we're taking, and He's checking us off whether we're naughty or nice, and He's checking it twice. And that's Santa Claus. That's not Jesus. Okay? I did it again, God. He says, that's okay, come on. Will you still trust me? Will you still keep trying? Will you come on? Will you get back up? I'll brush you off. Come on, let's keep on trying. Because I got some good things right around the corner for you. Just come on. Well, because the Bible says we're being transformed. What does Romans 8 say? What does he say here? Romans 8:29 says, For he who foreknew, he also predestined for that we would be conformed into the image of his Son. He predestined. That was on his mind. His plan all along was for us, for him to conform us into. That's not you conforming yourself, by the way. That's not willpower and all the rest of that. He says, I'll conform you. And I got to finish here. Second Corinthians, he says the same thing here. In 3, he says, but we all, everybody say, we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You understand what he's saying? He's saying we're all works in progress. So if you don't mind, I won't go to seed over whatever area he's dealing with you about, because I'm working real hard on the areas he's dealing with me about. Is that all right? And so don't you get mad at me because I said, if you're not married, come on to church down here. Don't get mad at me, because I just know when we sit under the anointing of God for so long, he transforms us. And I didn't change anything in my life because I was strong enough to do it or any other reason. I changed it because it happened. He did it. He transformed me. And if I just keep, like I'm looking in a mirror, if I just keep looking at Jesus, I'll get more like him. If I just keep looking at God, his word, his goodness, I just keep looking at him, I'll keep getting transformed from glory to glory. I'll keep getting transformed into that image. And if you're not where I think you're supposed to be, too bad for me. And if I'm not where you think I ought to be, too bad for you. Because we're all works in progress. I'm going after the prize. I'm going after the mark. I'm pressing towards it. Well, let me read you one more verse here and we'll quit. I got this late, so it's not my fault. You can stay a few minutes here. But I won't take long, really. Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Hank, why do you say it's so important to live for God and to do right? It's not so I got a lot of stars on my chart when I get to heaven. No, it's because the closer I try to live to God, the clearer I hear that voice. And then he gets past my conduct and goes to meddling, because all these fruits of the Spirit are something that happens inside. And some of you need to quit trying to grow fruit. Fruit grows automatically. The Holy Spirit's the only one that can grow fruit. I'm going to be kind. I'm good. I'm telling you, I'm going to be kind. No, but he'll start doing something inside of you. Huh? And then you'll catch yourself. And it won't even be harsh like you used to say it. And the person you're saying it to won't even really pick it up after a while. But inside of you, you go, boy, you said that off. You could have been a little kinder when you said that. You could have been a little better when you did that. See, I'm just saying that those things in us, our attitudes, all those things in us, they'll hinder what we hear from God. He's talking all the time. Do you understand? He's talking to you all the time. He's talking to you all the time. I got some more, but I just quit. He's talking to you all the time. And that's the reason. That's the reason we're trying It's not for works. It's not by works. It's by grace that we get everything from God we got. But why am I trying then? If I got everything, well, heck, let's just eat, drink, and be merry, you know? And no, because the closer I get to Him, the clearer I hear Him. And man, if I can hear Him, glory to God, I don't have it here, but I've seen it. You guys have seen it on my shirt. Got a little magnet that I put my glasses in there. And it's just a little simple thing. It's got some metal, and you put the magnet up under your shirt, and you just touch it. And the first time I had that on, and I was down in Branson, and some guy said, I saw that on Shark Tank. And you know that guy made $2 million or something with that? And I went, $2 million? I could have thought of that. Wonder how many of those little magnets that you could think of that you hadn't thought of yet. Oh, I don't know, Kenny, but there has got to be a fly. There's got to be a jig. There has got to be something that nobody's ever seen. And if you could invent it, man, Bass Pro would be knocking your door down to get that. Are you hearing me? Let me tell you my meat. What's keeping me going is when I hear some of you and God's doing something in your life. And all this stuff that's been happening, and I know I could do a better job of delivering it sometimes, but all this stuff that I've been saying and all this stuff that's been happening, man, this has been straight from the throne room of God, and stuff's happening in people's lives. And I got to say this, and I won't look the direction, and I won't put any names, but I got a text the other day, and basically what the guy said was, he said, I've told my wife just don't touch the bag for a little bit because I don't have enough help to do all the work that's coming to me. No, just touch it. See, and about half of us thought, oh, that's silly. I watched last Sunday night as they were passing it over there, and I watched, and some people went, and some people were going, let me touch it. Some people were going, oh, that's silly. I'm not saying touch the bag. Matter of fact, if I had time, I'd just pass the bag around just so you could touch it. But you understand what I'm saying? God wants us to know. He wants us to know His goodness and experience His goodness and walk in His goodness. Everybody stand. If we don't quit, we'll still be here. That was a brilliant statement, wasn't it? If we don't quit, we'll still be here. I thought of that all by myself, too. Oh, praise the Lord. Everybody in here say something with me. Because we're past time. But everybody say, I wouldn't have done this, but Jan and Steve said, you just go as long as you want. We don't care. And so that's the reason I did this. So I'm going to do it this way. Everybody in here say something with me. There's smart Alex on that side. Let me get on this side. Come on, dude. Everybody say something here. Say, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I want to live for you. Thank you for saving me. Now, if you're here and you didn't know for sure, or you don't know for sure, and maybe you said that for the first time, you come down after we dismiss here, and we'll have somebody pray with you. One of us will pray with you. If somebody's here today, and you haven't been living the way you know you're supposed to live, and you just feel something in there telling you to rededicate your life today, if that's you, you come down here, and we'll pray with you. And matter of fact, if you have anything, a burden, something heavy, something that you're believing God for and you need somebody to agree with you, come down. One of us will agree with you, okay? Because we want God to be big in your life. We want Him to bless you, be big in your life, okay? And if you need healing, come down. We'll anoint you with oil and we'll pray the prayer of faith over you. And this says, you will be healed, not maybe, you will be healed. So we'll just follow the instruction book and see what happens. Does that make sense? We're going to sing, we're going to play some music, but I dismiss you and I speak His blessing into you. And I pray that this week, I believe this week you'll experience more of His favor than you ever have before. I believe you'll walk in His blessing this week. I believe you will hear His voice clearer this week than you ever have before. And if you believe that, just reach out by faith and say, that's me. That's going to happen to me. That's me. Hey, I love you. Thank you for being here. If you're a first-time attender and you want to meet your new pastor, come on down here and I'll shake your hand, give you some information about the church. Hey, I love you. I love you. But you know what? God really loves you. You guys have a great day and a great week, and be blessed. If you need to come, come. If you need to be baptized, we'll baptize you.